We are talking about the supernatural with Darren Owens, Mysteries of the Supernatural. We're talking right now about some various realms, and he's got seven realms of the supernatural. The next one we'll talk about is called the paranormal realm. We'll find out what that is in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Darren Owens with us. Darren, the paranormal realm. Explain that one for us.
Paranormal realm is the area where we have our lost souls and ghosts and hauntings. So that's what's the most popular right now on our television sets is the paranormal realm. And so these are earthbound spirits. So it's what people might call purgatory. So it's between the physical and the realm between here and the spiritual realm. So the paranormal realm hovers between those two realms. So that is the area, for example, if I'm doing a house blessing and I'm helping some lost souls cross over that are earthbound, they are stuck in that paranormal realm. That's where they are. So in it's actually a nice realm. It's just a lot of souls are lost, just like we are in physical form. You know, it's fascinating how our physical life reflects the spirit world as well.
Well, when you look at these realms, are they on tiers? You know, we talked about levels. So where would the dark realm be? Way on the bottom?
Way on the bottom. It is the farthest away from the source or what we call God. So, for example, if you think of the sun, it would be the planet furthest away. And it's at the very bottom. And this is just something I've compiled over the work I've done for 20 years. And I've categorized these realms in this level for my own personal work. So when I wrote this book, I decided to go ahead and format the book in these seven realms to give people an understanding of the different inhabitants that reside within the realms. And the mind finds it a lot easier if you do have levels to look at. Makes more sense that way. So yes, the dark realm is definitely furthest away from the source.
Well, it sure is. Okay, so back with the paranormal realm for a moment. What other aspects of these realms are in there? I mean, what else is included in there?
In my findings, it's pretty much the lost souls. It's earthbound souls. It's the haunting. It's the supernatural in that aspect. So that's pretty much all I have found in the paranormal realm. And it's the area between our physical world and the spirit realm where we all cross into, and that paranormal realm is where we can actually get lost if we don't cross over. Some people call it the outer darkness. I think, too, it's also been called purgatory. So when a soul is lost and they have no idea either if they're passed on or dead or they don't want to go, they get lost in this perpetual dream state. And that's what the paranormal realm looks like. It's like a perpetual dream state associated with each soul that's lost there. For example, if the movie Insidious,
okay. And
in some of the scenes it's very dark and these spirits are sort of just hovering in this darkness, that's very much what it's like.
The spiritual realm, how would you categorize that?
That is human souls that have crossed over. That's human souls and our spiritual guides and guardians. That's the spiritual realm. So when everyone says, did they cross over into the light? Well, the light is sort of the hallway into the spiritual realm. That's where the majority of human souls reside, is the spiritual realm. They are not earthbound souls. They have crossed over peacefully into the light. So that would be the spiritual realm. And our spiritual guides are there as well. So that is the area where we can connect with our spiritual guides. When we connect with lost loved ones that are on the other side, that's where we connect. They can communicate and they can travel between those realms. People are always afraid that their lost loved ones can't come back and visit. Of course they can. You know, the complete freedom to come back and visit the ones on this side. And as a medium, and here's the thing about me, I'm a very different medium. I'm not the type that'll stand up on a stage and do these gallery readings. I've never done that. My work as a medium has always been one-on-one, working with a lost soul, trying to get them to cross over, or dealing with spirit attachments, or dealing with exorcism in a way. So that's how I've worked as a medium. So it's not as fancy and as exciting as the gallery stuff, I guess. But the level of the spiritual realm is where we can connect with our lost loved ones. That's where you want to go when you die. You go to the light, you go to the spiritual realm.
You also have human guides, animal guides. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that. The human guides, obvious. What about the animal guides?
Animal guides are the animal totems. People have been so fascinated with why they're attracted to a certain animal, why you're attracted to the bear, or why you're attracted to the wolf, the raven. The raven's my favorite, always has been. And I began to realize in the work that I was doing and readings with hundreds of people over the years that these archetypes were in their energy field. I would see, for example, okay, why am I seeing a wolf? And the person would say, oh, I love wolves. Well, why is that? I began to realize these were actual spiritual guardians, these animal guides, and what they represented for that person was exactly what they were needing as far as spiritual guidance. So animal guides or animal totems are archetypal spiritual forces working with individual people. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, so it sure is.
Yeah. And I look at these as archetypes. It for me, it makes a lot more sense if we look at these beings as something not so fanciful and out there, but archetypal energies that really work with us. Because, the divine will show itself the way it needs to for somebody.
Well, and that comes up with the next realm. It's called the divine realm.
The divine realm, and this is the realm that is getting closer to the source. So this is the realm where we have the archetypal ascended masters. We have the angelic beings, guardian angels, archangels, all reside in the divine realm. Also, you've got the archetypes of the gods and the goddesses in this realm. So basically, the many faces of God are held within the divine realm. Also, the angelic beings reside in the divine realm because, they're just that far away from the source, so they're closer to the source. And we can connect to the divine realm. So those of us that have a very strong spiritual foundation, whether it's Christian or Buddhist or any of the other strong spiritual paths, we are connecting our spiritual foundation to that divine realm. And that divine realm reflects back to us whatever teacher or ascended master or image of God that we want. And so that is the area where the many faces of God manifest, and that's the divine realm.
Tell me what your take is, Darren, on guardian angels.
Guardian angels, it's as the word implies, but it's not as not like touched by an angel, per se. It can be. But guardian angels are there for our protection. They're there for our comfort, our guidance. They're just basically reflecting what our needs are. They show up at the right time. And they're also really powerful. See, angels are extremely powerful beings. They're not love and light and pink paint all the time. They're very strong spiritual forces that are charged to keep us on the path that we're supposed to be. And I always believe that guardian angels were just that. They're the ones that go, okay, get back over here. Get back over here.
Who assigns them to us, Darren?
I believe that we have a contract before we incarnate, that we talk to all the spiritual guides, we talk to the souls that are going to incarnate with us. We have this big, huge meeting before we incarnate. And then as we incarnate into the present life, we take that angelic Prozac and we forget everything. And we live out our life and we live out our lessons. So I think that we actually all agree to work with each other. It's a group effort. And I love that feeling because it gives us more sense of control in our life. And it gives us a sense of more communion and connection to these what would often be magical beings that are so far away from us and separate from us when in actuality we all had an agreement. And that's why I think guardian angels are so familiar to people. When they see or feel an angel and they're in their presence, they have a sense of love, but they also have a sense of familiarity. I wonder why. Well, it's because as souls, we've already connected with that spiritual force prior.
Are these guardian angels healers, or is that something separate?
Well, guardian angels are basically just assigned to help us out. And then we have angels that are healers. They are there with the doctors and therapists and the energy healers of the world. They are the ones that we call on for help. For example, the Archangel Raphael is associated with healing. So that archetypal force is something that we pray to, that we call forth to help us in healing. So we have angels that are specific for healing. We have angels, protectorate angels, that are there specifically just to somehow, through a miracle and a shift in our perception, we didn't get run over by that car when we should have. You know, you have protectorate angels that are that way. Then you've got the archangels, these amazing spiritual beings, these powerful beings that are running the show in the universe, basically. And they're legions. I always say, how is the Archangel Michael going to be helping everybody at the same time? So these beings in my work that I have found have their own legions. So when I call the Archangel Michael when I'm doing house blessings or working with any kind of demonic energies, if that comes up, and I'm calling forth the Archangel Michael, I always say, Archangel Michael and your legions, would you help me in this situation? And it gives a sense of an expansion of that energy.
The death angels, what are they? Do they come and take us away or what?
Death angels are assigned to be with a human at the time of death to try to help them transition as easily as possible. They're the ones that help. It's like the Grim Reaper in folklore. It's these angels that are there to help that lost soul travel between one realm to the other. And again,
do they take the soul or help the soul?
They help the soul because the soul has free will choice. If that soul's like, I'm not going, I'm staying here, my family needs me, then that death angel, all it can do is say, okay, well, and I'll come back. And there's constant spiritual guidance. That angel is always trying to come back and help that soul cross over. And then there are times when the soul's just completely against crossing over and it becomes an earthbound spirit. It gets consumed by its own illusions and it can't see the spiritual help anymore. It gets consumed by its own thoughts. Just think of how obsessive we can get with our negative thoughts. Well, when you're in your soul form, that's 20 times more magnified. We don't have a physical body or distractions in the physical world to keep those thoughts at bay anymore, you see. So there's always spiritual guidance and guardians at all times, whether we're living or whether we're dead.
The last realm is called the source realm, and to me that sounds almost godlike.
It is. It is the source of all creation, the mother, father, God, whatever you want to call the creator. This is the source. And we, as souls created from that source, are connected to it. So that's why we're so familiar with all of these realms within the supernatural, because we have that silver cord, if you want to say that, connected to the source, because our higher self, that spiritual part of us, is a reflection of the source. And when I wrote this book, I didn't want to write just another book about hauntings and my experiences with favorite ghosts and all this type of thing. It had to be a spiritual healing book. And my work has always been helping the dead and the living reconnect to the source. So it ties it up at the end, is realizing that there is a realm that is the source. And at one point or another, through spiritual evolution, we will go back to that source.
Darren, you've devoted a huge chapter to occult tools. Tell me why and what you mean by occult tools.
Occult tools. Well, these are tools that I have used over the years to keep my energy clear and also to keep my environment clear. I'm a big believer in psychic protection and spiritual cleansing. So in this particular chapter, I talk about how to bless your house, how to use salt water, how to make holy water. The sacred symbols of the cross or Solomon's pentagram as used for spiritual protection and sort of the history behind those. We also have to realize that we have control on what gets into our energy, what we want in our energy, and what we can get rid of. A lot of people think in this world of exorcism and all this is that we have no control over what's affecting us, and we absolutely do. So that chapter is all about how an individual can clear their home, clear their own energy, how to build their spiritual foundation, and keep that psychic protection constantly on high. It's like your own internal virus protector.
Well, what is a psychic attack then?
A psychic attack is when one person uses their thought form energies to interfere with another individual, whether through dark magic or just plain jealousy. I mean, our thoughts are so powerful, we can be so mad at somebody that we can actually affect their own energy if they're not strong enough or conscious enough to realize what's going on. Psychic attack is definitely, think of it as someone else shooting someone. Well, it's the same thing, but you're using a thought form. I'm a definite believer in curses. People can absorb so much negativity and pervert that energy enough and send that out to somebody. That's definitely a reality. When I've done cleansings with people, I've had to work on removing those types of negative thought forms out of the energy field. But all in all, a psychic attack is concentrated negative energy sent to someone else for the purpose of hurting them, whether it's conscious or unconscious.
Now, with some of these tools, you've mentioned a circle of salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that do?
Salt is it's always been a protector. It's a psychic and spiritual cleanser. The Bible even talks about how holy salt is to be used.
Any kind of salt?
Any kind of salt. I like to use sea salt. But
that's expensive. You make a circle, that's going to be expensive.
That's an expensive circle.
It sure is.
Table salt, Epsom salt, I've tried it all. Because if I'm going to tell people how to do something, I'm going to try it. But it always works. And what I do, I even keep salt at my doors, back door and my front door in my home. But because of the work that I do, you see.
Right.
And if you add a few pinches of salt to your bath water, that helps cleanse your auric system. It's a spiritual cleanser. Spirits and inhabitants of the supernatural cannot cross salt. And that's one thing that's very true about the TV show Supernatural. You know, they're always salting everything. Well, that's absolutely true, because spiritual beings like that cannot cross salt.
Now, what do? You just make a circle?
What I do is, in
the middle of it? What do you do with it?
Well, it depends on what your situation is. If you're blessing your home, I put a few pinches of salt into water. I pray over it, the Lord's Prayer. That's what I use, and I always tell people you can use whatever prayer you want, just as long as it's something that inspires you and brings energy into the situation. And you can just sprinkle that water at all the corners of your house, because what you're doing is you're cleansing that energy and you're blessing your home, and you're encircling your home with salt. So it just depends on the situation. One case that I had many years ago, I had to deal with a vengeful spirit. So the people that were involved, I circled us in salt, but only part way, because I had to get the spirit into the circle and then trap him. So my friend had to, as soon as the spirit came into the circle, we closed the circle off with the salt, and I was able to deal with the spirit without him jumping ship. I know that sounds very far out there, but most people won't have to deal with that. But circle of salt is basically just using salt as a spiritual protectant. You can even put it in a spray bottle.
Well, how does holy water work, Darren?
Holy water works by the thoughts of blessing that you put in it. A lot of people think I have to have a priest do it or someone very spiritual and powerful to bless my water. Absolutely not, because water itself is a cleanser. So all you have to do is, through prayer, is hold your hands over the water and say, Holy Spirit or divine love, bless this water, and may this water bless
and
my
it
water.
Works. I want to talk about exorcisms with you when we come back. Darren Owens with us. His work, fascinating, Mysteries of the Supernatural. Stay connected to this station wherever you go. Pick up the free iHeartRadio app. It's that simple. You know, no matter what you're doing, it's there at your fingertips with your smartphone. Pick it up in the stores, the iHeartRadio app. You can simply also listen to iHeartRadio.com. Just remember that, iHeartRadio.com. Back at you with Darren Owens as we talk about Mysteries of the Supernatural. exorcisms. Tell me about them. You've done them. You've witnessed them. How do they work?
Exorcisms and the work that I've done, it's not at all like the movies. Not as exciting as that. Sometimes they can be, you can get a little emotional and a little bit intense, but it's really just a form of vibrational healing. I always say the exorcisms that I'm doing are an enlightened form of energy healing. That's really all it is. You're transforming fear into love. You're removing negativity out of your energy system. And again, we do it all the time. We just don't know it. We tell people, don't think that way. That's negative thinking. Well, you're doing an exorcism on someone. If they decided to say, you're right, I'm not going to think that way anymore, you just performed an exorcism. That's really what it is. And then the work that I do, because not everyone is an exorcist, what I do is just more magnified. And it deals with, again, removing spirit attachments out of people's energy, transforming and finding out why they have attracted something like that, or where they can build a spiritual foundation within themselves so it doesn't happen again. So it's healing on both levels. That's why my work as a medium it's not the usual pop culture type perspective, but reality show medium. It's very much a different perspective on that. But that's what exorcism is for me. It's just an enlightened form of exorcism as a vibrational healing technique.
Why is it that most exorcists are Catholic priests?
A long time ago, they had the right idea that prayer could be used to change and remove negative energy. Now, that was great, using invocational prayer to heal. But unfortunately, because of the religious, and this is just me, so I don't want any hate mail later, but because of the religious blocks in dogmentation, they didn't go any further. They didn't get into the energetics of it. They didn't get into the energetics of what exorcism and possession are. So if you get into the energetics of it, you get into the chakra system and you understand it as exorcism, as energy medicine, and using prayer that way, then you kind of have to throw out the religious aspect of it. You have to have an open mind. And well, I've had cases where people have gone to a Catholic priest that wasn't working. They came to me and I went to the energetics of it, and they were able to actually have some liberation and some freedom in their life again. And that's what I really wish priests would do. If they're going to be educated in exorcism, then go all the way. Look at energy medicine and intuition and get into the root causes of some of this stuff. And don't always just blame the devil. There are serious emotional, mental causes sometimes that open the doors for possession. You just can't think it's a demon all the time, because sometimes it's just a strong negative thought form that has completely been concentrated for so many years in this person. And it's attached to them like an intelligence all its own, but it's just a thought form.
In your career, Darren, I'm sure you've come across all kinds of very strange circumstances. Have you gotten to the point yet where you can explain what is on the other side?
I can give you my impressions and my ideas, but no, we won't ever know that till we get there.
And if it doesn't exist, we won't know, and it doesn't matter, does it?
Right, exactly. That's it, exactly. I'm never out to prove anything. Number one, I don't care to prove anything. These are, again, just my own experiences, and if it helps somebody, great. If not, so what? Go find something else. But we really won't know. But these are my impressions that feel right to me. So it makes it a lot easier to think that way. And it seems to work for people. It seems to help people. So if something is working and helping somebody, that's the thing that's most important. That's the most important thing in my work.
Darren, I'm getting lots of emails from people who want to know how can they contact you for help or advice. Can they get through you through your website?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, DarrenOwensOfficial.com.
D-A-R-R-I-N, right?
Yes. Just like Bewitched. I was named after Bewitched. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? So
I liked him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up with that show, and my mom told me, she goes, you know, you were named after that show. I said, well, that makes sense. So
he's no longer with us. He passed on, didn't he?
That's right. Yeah. Well, they're all gone. Yeah, I remember when Elizabeth Montgomery passed.
Yeah.
Shockingly. So.
Agnes Moorehead.
She was great. You know, these people are fantastic. And I've had the privilege of working with some celebrities in my life, and I still have some as friends. And I'm fascinated by these people that are truly creative and the way that they think and the way that they see the world. And we are that way. If we just look at the world as something creative and not something that's against us, it changes everything in our life. So, and I taught a few acting classes when I lived in Los Angeles, and that's what I try to get people to realize is if you look at life as creative and you are the one creating it, it changes everything in your life and it puts power back into your life. And the problem with a lot of exorcisms or possessions is people giving away their power and they're feeling powerless. And in reality, we are created from divinity, for goodness sake. We are that energy. We must remember that. Nothing can filter into that. Nothing can affect that once you realize who you really are. And that's the absolute goal.
Is there anything that scares you about the other side?
Unconsciousness. Forgetting who you are and becoming earthbound. That is quite frightening because I've dealt with so many souls that were so lost and so afraid that would be terrifying to be lost in that ethereal fog and not know who you are and wondering where everybody is or just being in that perpetual state and not knowing how to get out of it. I think that's why I'm so passionate about helping lost souls. It is terrifying. It's a sense of loss that never goes away. So I think that's what really frightens me, if I have to think of it in those terms.
What do you think the source realm that people call God, mm-hmm. that people call energy, what do you think it is?
I think it's this amazing mystery that's going to take centuries to truly understand. That's how I look at it, this amazing divine mystery that keeps calling us to it because whether we know it or not, we're all looking for something to make us feel better. Well, in reality, we're looking for something that's going to get us home. That's how I look at the source. That's how I look at God, is this amazing divine mystery that will take centuries to understand, but it keeps calling us towards it. And we have the privilege of putting whatever we want, Mother, Father, God, Jesus, whatever you want to do it. It doesn't care just as long as you realize that you're part of it.
The subtitle of your book, A Psychic's Guide Beyond the Veil. We talked a little bit about what the veil is. What do you mean by beyond the veil?
This is the levels beyond just our physical realm. This is something that's not of the physical. This is the supernatural, and I want people to realize that the supernatural is really very natural. So we're moving beyond just what we see with our five senses. We're moving beyond with what we just feel and mentally imagine. I want to give a picture to what the supernatural is in my work and how I've categorized it through the spiritual readings I've done and all of the work that I've done as far as healing goes, so that maybe people can begin to realize that there is a huge community around them, that we're not alone. And I'm not talking about extraterrestrials. You know, what's so fascinating, there's a lot of activity going on out there where there's a lot going on right here on this planet if we speak of it interdimensionally. There's so many mysteries going on just around us on this plane of existence within the supernatural realms. You don't even have to go to outer space. It's just fascinating. But that's what I mean, beyond the veil. It's beyond your physical senses. Let's move into these other dimensions and see who's residing there, because they're just as interested in us. So I'm hoping this book will sort of help begin to bring some establishment and foundation to people that have these experiences, because it's happening daily. The veil is thinning for people every single day and on many different levels.
Let's talk a little bit about energy healing, because that's another aspect of some of the things that you've done.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Think of energy healing as getting to the root cause of dis-ease in the body, whether it's negative thoughts, whether it's an illness that's manifested in the body. You're going to the spiritual source of that imbalance. So energy medicine is looking at cures, looking at well-being through energetic terms, intuitive terms. You're going within to see how to make yourself healthier instead of just looking outside of yourself. So energy healing is healing from within, if you want to simplify it. That's how that is. And the work that I do is always energy healing. And people don't think of exorcism as a form of energy healing, but it absolutely is. And it's helping that individual realize that the energy within them is something they can use to heal their own bodies, heal their own minds, their emotions. We go to the root, the energetic root of an issue.
Darren, how do you explain places like Lourdes in France, where people jump in this pool of water and they are miraculously healed? Are they doing it to themselves, or is there some godly reason?
I think it's both. I think that it is the combination of, it's like a placebo effect. Everyone knows that this certain area has healing. So all those thoughts are directed to healing, 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 healing. And it has to. The whole area becomes a vortex of healing. And everyone begins to tap into their own spiritual reflection and their own ability to start healing themselves, so that becomes a huge vortex of healing. So I think it's a combination of both. I absolutely do, because I know some folks that if they're completely closed-minded, they have no belief in that whatsoever, they can take a bath in that for a week and walk out and say, see, I told you it wasn't going to work.
Well.
And it's a two-way street. Miracles are always a two-way street. A miracle is a shift in our perception, but it also has to do with divine intervention. I always say there's the divine X factor in our life.
Well, Don, how positive do you have to be to make this work as an individual?
Just one little thought of, you know what, I need to change. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. It's not that difficult. We make it hard. Oh, God is not difficult. God is simple. And when things become difficult, that means we've gotten involved and we're messing it up. It's extremely simple. Just the thought of, you know what, I need to change. And then follow that thought. Continue to receive and open and listen to the guidance that comes to change your life. Because we have to follow that. If we open our mind, we have to take the responsibility for the light that begins to filter into it.
Can anything go wrong? Can anything backfire?
I don't believe that anything backfires. I think that if we're doing it with the right intentions, if we're doing it through as much love as possible for ourselves and the people around us and our planet and that type of thing, I don't believe in backfiring. If we're doing it through ego purposes or something that's not of right mind and something that is not of honesty and integrity, that's when we backfire. And sometimes when we see something and we think it's backfired, it's actually pushed us to the right level we need to be for that moment. So when something bad or we think something bad's happened in our life, take a step back and look above and rise above and see this as something as a change for the better, and you keep trudging on. Because what happens with so many people, and myself included many years ago, is something happens that didn't go the way we wanted, and we don't move forward anymore. We get so upset or so depressed
sure.
that we stay.
Or you give up.
And you give up. And the universe is going, all right, just take one step. No, it's not going to work. And we stay there. And I've seen people live their entire life staying right there and not taking one step.
Are we at a supernatural crossroad? Because you kind
yeah.
of hinted.
Yeah, we are. We're absolutely at a supernatural crossroads because for so many years, we have been working on becoming more conscious, becoming more psychic, connecting to otherworldly energies. And it's become such a huge evolution in our global mind that literally we are now at the crossroads and we're beginning to see these different realms of the supernatural manifesting in our lives on whatever level it may be. And we're definitely at a crossroads. We are at a crossroads within ourselves, and we're at a crossroads on the outside of ourselves. As within, so without. That is a crossroads.
How dangerous is that, being at that intersection?
I don't think it's dangerous at all. I think it's something that is essential and something that we have been directed to do right now. We all know and we all feel on some level that there's a change happening, there's a shift happening, and that's part of it, is that we're realizing that we're not the only inhabitants. And not just extraterrestrial inhabitants. We're talking interdimensional, we're talking nature spirits, all of these lost souls, ghosts, angels, everything, all of these members of the universe are beginning to reveal themselves because we are revealing ourselves. We're beginning to shine. So the rest of the spiritual and supernatural communities are going, oh my, look at that. It's this incredible chain reaction. And I think the more spiritually grounded we are, we will attract those beings and entities and energies that meet us on the same crossroads. We don't get lost on a road that we don't need to be on, you see.
We have a prayer list. We have a prayer list where we put people on who have illnesses, afflictions, and people take time to simply think of the list and pray. It seems to have an uncanny way of working. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
The magnified direction of love. When we think of someone on a prayer list, we immediately, in some form or fashion, send love, divine love, to that person. We ask for balance, we ask for healing, we ask for a miracle, and that high-level vibrational thinking begins to change that person on the end, on the other end of the prayer, because it changes us. That's high-level power, that's high-voltage thinking. And again, remember, energy can't be destroyed. It can only be transformed. So the lower levels of energy afflicting somebody through either attachments or dis-ease in the body begins to transform. Their minds and emotions begin to transform because all of this group-minded direction, high-voltage energy, is being directed at them. That's how that happens, where two or more are gathered.
It's really dramatic, isn't it?
It is. It is. I love my work. I love seeing the shift. I'm getting a little emotional. I love seeing people's shifts. Whether they get a physical healing or whether they get an emotional healing, their soul wakes up. Oh, I call it the spiritualized soul. The soul finally gets out of its slumber and realizes, oh my gosh, this is what reality is.
And it never will fall asleep again, will
never.
It?
Never. You can't. How many times have I wanted to say, can I go back to sleep? Please? You know, sometimes it was nicer just to be unconscious because I don't want to see everything. But you can't because you got to trudge on. Because the more you evolve, everyone else around you is evolving. It's not just about me anymore. It's a we thing. We're evolving as a soul group. That's why everyone listens to this show. We are all evolving and opening our minds and discussing and ideas and different spiritual paths. It's essential.
Darren, we're going to come back with our final hour, but this time we'll take phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM.